This episode of the Attractions Podcast is sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel.
Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 92 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I am Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how have you been this past week?
I've had a great week. Thanks for asking. I made a couple theme park visits this week, a couple early morning theme park visits, which is not usual for me. I'm usually an afternoon, you know, slide in after lunch kind of guy. But I did a couple rope drops and early park admissions this week. I got to say, I had a complete failure at Disney's Hollywood Studios
oh,
this week.
Oh, no. I was wondering.
I had a disaster. I did not get the 7 a.m. Rise of the Resistance, but I decided to go in for rope drop anyway and discovered that even if you were there so early that you're like the third person in line for the parking toll booths, there are still going to be thousands and thousands of people in line ahead of you because of the Skyliner. For a while, they had the sort of parking lot and the Skyliner synced up, so everyone was getting there around the same time. And now on-site guests have such a big advantage. If you are driving in, don't even bother with, you know, 90 minutes for Slinky Dog. And I was one of the first off-site people in the park that morning. So just craziness. The good news, I did actually get on Rise of the Resistance that day, and I rode almost every other ride in the park. But it was a very long day and very stressful. So, yeah, Hollywood Studios just rolling right before that 1 o'clock drop for the Rise of the Resistance passes. It's just not worth it the first few hours of the day.
Will there ever be a point where we don't have to have the boarding groups anymore?
Well, you know, if they would put it into maybe a fast pass system where you could book it ahead of time, but I don't think that the capacity for that ride is so low. Even under best of circumstances, and pretty much every single person in that park wants to ride it. I think at Disneyland you could eventually phase it out because there are so many other rides in Disneyland. But you know, there's like 9 rides at Hollywood Studios, so
yeah.
You know, where else is everyone going to go?
And we still don't have Fantasmic back or anything,
nope,
so there's
nope, But there are signs of life. Things are getting back to normal. So.
Yeah, we are going to talk about quite a few.
Absolutely. So how was your week?
My week was good. Josh is out of town again, so it's just me and Brody. I got to celebrate my friend's birthday last night, and
nice.
It was kind of like weird, like in a COVID, like a post-COVID kind of way.
Sure.
But it was fun.
It's hard getting used to socializing again, you know?
Yeah, and being out in public and everyone is just, like, normal and fine. And it feels kind of, I don't know, I'm hyper aware of it, I guess. But
sure.
It was really fun. And then today I went to a pop-up small shop market with a bunch of different vendors from around town. Spent some local cash supporting small business. So it's been nice. And I watched Luca.
You know what? It's on my list, but I have not gotten around to it yet. Did you enjoy it?
I did. If you're a fan of Studio Ghibli films, like the kind of the really sweet like slice of life where not a ton happens, but it's lots of character growth and really sweet stories that anyone can get behind. It's very spiritually similar to that kind of thing.
Oh, well, and that's a high recommendation.
It's beautiful to look at. The art style is so different from what Pixar has done before. I really like it. It's kind of like Aardman-y, the people that did Wallace and Gromit, but in like a Pixar kind of way. Almost like clay style, but not. I liked it.
All right. Well, I will move it up in my queue.
You should. Yes. But if you're expecting a big blockbuster story, you might be disappointed. So go in expecting something like My Neighbor Totoro.
I still haven't watched Raya the Last Dragon yet, so maybe I'll have a double feature.
Come on. That one's free now.
I know. I'm behind. I'm still watching Sex and the City episodes from 15 years ago. So.
That's like me trying to convince myself I need to watch The Sopranos, but like it's so daunting.
Yeah, well, the prequel movie's coming out. So you gotta...
I know, that's why I want to watch it.
So you can be just as frustrated by the final episode as the rest of us were when it came out.
I remember when that happened, and I was like, well, what is it? It's just, it just ends. But I was like 12 or something.
Let's move right along, please. Yes. Can we get to the news?
Yes, let's get into the news. First up, Canada's Wonderland has set its reopening date for July 7th.
Yay! It seems so weird. We're deep, deep into theme parks reopening and getting back to normal here. But up in Canada, things are still pretty serious. Lots of lockdowns. So that's great news for them that they're getting things back open.
Yeah. So this is the second step in Ontario's reopening protocols. Mm-hmm. The park will reopen with limited capacity on July 5th and 6th for pass holders and then for the general public on the 7th.
Yeah. You're going to want to be a native to that area before you plan a trip there, because as far as I know, the U.S.-Canadian border is still closed to non-essential travel. Even if you own a house up there, it's still hard to get in. You got to go through a 2-week quarantine, and I think they just extended that for another 30 days.
Wow.
I don't think the theme parks are considered essential travel to Canadians. obviously they're not from Orlando, so
yeah it depends on which Canadians you ask.
Yeah, but there will be reservation systems, health screenings, all the kind of things that we had here a year ago. They're getting now, just as we're getting rid of them.
So if you're interested, reservations open for booking on the 17th. So you can make those now if you are in the area. And if you're not, hold on for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to talk about MegaCon Orlando and how stacked their guest list is, celebrity guests. First of all, Brendan Fraser is going to be there. Come on.
All right. Well, I got two things to say about that. Number one, that's fantastic. Obviously, he has a lot of fans here in Orlando, if nothing else, because of Revenge of the Mummy. Yeah. And I can't imagine how many people are going to wait in line for his autograph and hand him a cup of coffee. Like, there's going to be a stack of coffee cups by the end of the day. But can I just say that I'm a little disturbed, Brendan Fraser is the headline, the top line guest, when we've got William Shatner. I mean, Captain Kirk is on the guest list. We got Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We got all of the hobbits.
All of the hobbits is a big...
For me, that's an even bigger get.
I may have had something to do with Brendan Fraser being the headliner. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Well, we know where your priorities lie.
Listen, there is a theme park connection there. I thought it was best. Leave me be with my editorial decisions.
I'm backing you. I'm backing you. Sure. Brendan Fraser, all the way.
Yes. Nothing but respect for the mummy.
No, it's no matter who you think is the most important guest at this event. And honestly, the most important guest should be the comic book artists that MegaCon and these kind of events were originally created for, who get now kind of shuffled to the side in this artist's alley and they get overlooked. But there are going to be a lot of great writers and artists there, along with the movie and TV stars. The real stars of these events are the cosplayers and the fans who come out. And, it's going to be great to see people wearing masks again that are not for, medical purposes.
Right.
it's a big social thing. I mean, people who do the con circuit, that's like friends. It's like family.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there are a lot of people who are going to be very happy to have MegaCon back.
I haven't been to MegaCon probably since 2018, But I always loved going. It was such a fun time. And then geeking out over all the costumes. I remember specifically seeing the Big Daddy that's in this cosplay photo and losing my mind because they were pulling behind them like a Red Flyer like wagon with a record player in it playing the BioShock soundtrack.
I was going to say, this is a Big Daddy from the BioShock video games. This is not some sort of S&M club.
No. This is a Big Daddy like dive suit thing from the BioShock video games, but very cool. There's also a Pickle Rick Grimes. MegaCon is so much fun. If you are local to Orlando, I highly, highly recommend. It's such a good time, even if just to see all the work that people put into their cosplays for just like a couple of days out of the year. It's insane.
Yeah, it can be really overwhelming. It's a massive event, but it's a lot of fun.
Wild Florida has doubled the size of their drive-through safari experience right after adding a huge expansion not too long ago.
Yeah, they have doubled the length of their drive-through from 2 miles to 4 miles. It now takes place over 170 acres. And I would say that if you ever like rode Kilimanjaro safaris at Animal Kingdom and thought, I could do that, you know, this is your place because you can drive your own car through. Now, when I was growing up in Six Flags, New Jersey, we had a drive-through safari. But I was always kind of paranoid because they had signs and stuff saying like, if you had a convertible, don't drive through because the monkeys will rip the car, the roof off of your car. Make sure you don't roll down the windows. And, you know, I don't think that we were ever damaged or molested by the animals, but, I remember the signage being really scary. So, hopefully you and your car will make it through this experience in one piece. But there, you know, there's everything from wildebeests to water buffalo and from antelope to zebra.
So you're saying that this press photo that they shared where two children are hanging out of the window would not be allowed?
That would not have been allowed up in New Jersey. I don't know what the specific rules here. If you have a small child that you are not interested in anymore, you might want to dangle it out the car window to the herd of wildebeest. There's also plenty of gators on this property, which Wild Florida, I think, originally started out with their airboat tours of the surrounding swamps. This is like the deep part of Kissimmee that's you feel like you've driven all the way to Tampa, but you're really, you know, just south of Walt Disney World. it's definitely like, if you want something that's a little more authentic and natural than the theme park animal experiences, this is definitely something to check out.
I will not rest until I see a picture of you going through this drive-through hanging out of a car window.
Right.
Has to happen. Busch Gardens Williamsburg has released the lineup for their summer concert series as part of their Summer Nights event. And there are quite a few Florida familiar names on this list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's if you put this up against a Mardi Gras Universal concert schedule, you'd definitely see some overlap.
And SeaWorld, too.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool and the Gang, Carly Pierce, Little River Band, Jesse McCartney, which my generation... He was like everything to me when I was 10 years old.
And these concerts, I believe, are included in price regular park admission. However, you can reserve seating, and it's actually a pretty decent deal if you're interested in the concert. You can sit in the very front section for $20 a seat, or get a seat in the middle for $10 a seat, which... You know, I love when you go to a free concert, but I hate having to invest like an hour or two of your day just to get a decent view. So that's something to think about.
Epcot, the lines of the Food and Wine concerts.
Yeah, and at you know, Mardi Gras when they have a big name, where it's hard to just get a view of the video screen, much less the stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
definitely check it out if you are in the Williamsburg area. Mm-hmm. Legoland Florida is celebrating summer starting June 26th with their Aw Summer event. Plenty of shows, some delicious sounding food.
Yes.
If I'm being honest, and all sorts of stuff that you can enjoy for their 10th birthday.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the watermelon feta salad with basil. Right?
And the drink.
And the watermelon cocktail. Lemonade? And like looks fantastic.
Oh, it looks so good.
They've got a couple of brand new shows that are just for the summer, including a birthday surprise squad, which seems like it's going to be a pop-up entertainment around the park. And some educational shows from the Florida Prepaid School Teacher Association. Safari drummers. And if you haven't gotten a chance to see the Brickbeards water sports stunt show, which was recently revamped, it'd be a great time to see it.
They're also bringing back Elemental Masters from Lego Ninjago days over on the Lego City stage. So if you want to see some very highly trained ninjas do flips and other cool things, that is for you. As well as Robots to the Rescue from Lego Friends Weekend. So it's like a ultimate mashup of entertainment from all sorts of events across the board.
Yeah, and not to mention on July 3rd and 4th, fireworks to celebrate the holiday.
Yeah. And on they will also have Heroes Weekend on August 7th and 8th. And all of this is included with park admission.
Now, the one thing I didn't see, I'm not sure if it's being served there, is the infamous green apple ice cream from Legoland New York, which made some news recently. Did you happen to see that?
Yes, unfortunately.
Some very colorful news.
Just some stinky news.
You know, apparently the food coloring in the green ice cream that's being served at the new Legoland Park in New York. Let's just say that the food and beverage team really thought that the ice cream was number one, but it turns out to be number two. completely non-toxic, harmless, passes that your system in 24 hours, but leaves a rainbow on its way. So... I don't know if Legoland Florida is celebrating their Aw Summer with that treat, but maybe we'll have to call Banks and see if he has any insight on that.
Yeah, well, if they start serving it, we will have to for science. If you plan on taking a Disney cruise in 2022, you'll be able to celebrate Halloween and Christmas aboard select sailings, as well as aboard the Disney Wish for its first holiday season, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is that the holiday celebrations will be back in 22. The bad news is that if you are on one of those first ships that's going out later this fall, it looks like you're not going to have the full complement of holiday decoration, which is perfectly understandable. They're probably just trying to get things up and running this year. But at least in 22, all of the holiday festivities for both Halloween and Christmas will be back on the boats.
Yes. They will have departures from Florida, New York, Texas, and California. And I was looking at that Texas. Date like, Halloween on the High Seas will be back in mid-September through October in 2022. And early November and December will be very merry time cruises.
I've gotten to do both a Halloween cruise and a Christmas cruise. And while I'd say Disney cruises are phenomenal any time of year, both of those things really made things extra special. Lot of creative character costumes, little bonus events really kind of put the cherry on top of the cruise Sunday, so to speak.
If you had to pick one, like you could only go to Halloween or Christmas... Well,
I'm a Halloween guy more than a Christmas guy.
That's
so
fair.
The Christmas stuff was fantastic and very heartwarming, but I thought that the Halloween was really creative. They had some kind of semi-spooky events out on the deck at night, some great lighting, and the Halloween tree that kind of comes to life over the course of the cruise is just fantastic. Beautiful piece of sculpture.
I can't wait to see what they do with the Wish, because they have so much surface area to cover.
Plenty of room. Yep.
And that incredible, the Walt Disney Theater in there, if they do any holiday-themed stage shows, that would be awesome.
Yep.
Over at Universal Orlando, they have replaced the quick service sushi joint with a bao place.
Yeah. Bao, if you don't know what it is a Chinese steamed bun. It's kind of white and spongy. And generally, it's just kind of, you know, traditional Chinese food, something that you just kind of use to pick up like a Peking duck or maybe a Mushu pork with. And lately, they've become trendy in fusion restaurants being used sort of as slider buns. So these are little sandwiches made with everything from spicy Korean-style fried chicken to Maryland crab cakes. They've got a pork belly, a beef brisket. Basically, you get a little box with two little sandwiches for about $12. Reports are really pretty solid. Everyone seems to like the ingredients and the flavors. I'm a huge fan of bao. I only have two nits to pick with this. One is that while fusion sushi, especially since Cowfish opened, had lost a lot of popularity, they had a spicy tuna seaweed salad for like $7 that was one of the best $7 dishes anywhere in the parks. I'm going to really miss that. And you're paying $11 for two small sandwiches. You can get a third sandwich for another like $4.50. Drinks are extra. If you go to King Bao in downtown Orlando, which is very clearly what this place is modeled after, like several of their dishes are like pretty much, you know, six out of the seven ingredients are identical. You know, you can get a two pack for I think it's $9 with a drink, so on a price belt, you know, you're always paying more for stuff in a theme park, but I think the price point with no side, no drink, it's a little high.
I wish that there was some kind of side.
Yeah.
Because we have about,
even if it just came with some sort of fried wonton chips or our place King Bao specializes in tots.
They're so good.
They have a tacho that's
the place that we have here. It's called Bowed Up, and they do fries with spicy mayo dip.
Yeah.
It is so good.
So honestly, if you have a favorite bao place back home, then it's probably not going to replace it. But most people, most parts of the country probably don't have a bao restaurant that's easily accessible.
Yeah.
And this will hopefully be a great way to introduce it to some people.
I'm definitely curious about the veggie with the oyster mushrooms.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the veggie looks pretty good.
Yeah. The Disney College program is officially back at Walt Disney World.
I know there are a lot of people who this was a really important part of their life. A lot of people who were just really sad when this got canceled, and must be so happy to have this back. It's interesting when they come back. They're not going to be coming back to Vista Way though, because Disney has dispensed with that facility. I think everyone's going to be in the Flamingo Crossings Village now. That's the new housing for the college program.
It's really nice, but
yeah.
The lore of Vista Way.
Oh yes, the legends will live on, even if the building needs a priest to pass holy water over it now.
Some exercise.
Yes, exactly. Need an old priest and a young priest.
Yes.
You know, So I think that the college program, I'm a little surprised that it got reactivated so quickly. I kind of thought that maybe they'd wait until the fall semester. But this could be Disney's secret weapon over the summer if they can use it to get food and beverage staffing back up to where it used to be. The biggest problem in all the parks right now, the parks pretty much all have their rides operating at full capacity. But food and beverage, like, you know, you go to a stand that would normally have two people or three people working, and you're lucky to have one person, or maybe the stand is closed altogether. And we're seeing that in all the parks. Universal in particular, they just announced they're trying to hire 1,000 people right now for food and beverage. That's massive. And, you know, I don't blame people for not wanting to go back to work for, you know, now it's $15 an hour at Universal. I'm not sure exactly what the starting salary is at Disney. But when you've got college kids who are basically free labor, that's, you know, that's a great way they can, if they can use that to staff up. I don't know if that's great for the Orlando economy that they have that outlet instead of having to hire people at a competitive wage, but it'll definitely be better for guests because, you know, Universal just, I guess just yesterday, got rid of their mobile ordering system for most restaurants in the park because it had become such a disaster. It had just, you know, the last couple times I've been in parks, it had just completely melted down because there wasn't enough staffing to keep up with it. This could definitely give Disney an edge, I think, this summer when it comes to keeping things staffed up and keeping guests happy. Because nothing makes a guest unhappier than having to wait an hour for a churro.
Ugh, churros. Mm-hmm. I did the CP when I first moved to Orlando in 2016, and I got paid $10 an hour.
Yep. And then how much of that went right back into the company for your living expenses?
They took out, I lived in the most expensive accommodation because we had a washer dryer in the unit.
Oh, ain't you fancy?
Yeah.
We just had a bucket. One bucket for everything you don't want to ask.
So it was, rent was like $350 a person. Or something.
What did you have, like, four people in the room? Six?
I shared a room. It was a two bedroom and there were two people in each room.
Right.
So but I wonder, like, since the pay rate, I think it starts around $13 for Disney, if CPs are still making $10 an hour. Or I hope
I'm sure if their pay goes up, the rent for the new dormitories will also have gone up.
So. I don't even want to know how much rent at Flamingo Crossings is. I can't afford it. No. But there are plenty of perks that they get to make up for it. And I was well aware that I was cheap labor, but I got to go to Disney whenever I wanted to and got merchandise and food discounts. So it shakes out if you're okay with that. I'm fine with being exploited.
All exploited by someone. You're just lucky if you get to pick who exploits you.
That's, exactly.
That was going a little dark. Let's head over to Disneyland.
That was a joke. Disneyland is going, or it has gone, as of June 15th, mask-free for fully vaccinated guests.
And by fully vaccinated, we mean anyone who says they are fully vaccinated because there is no form of verification whatsoever.
Nope.
So temperature checks are gone. Distancing markers are gone. It's pretty much back to quote-unquote normal at Disneyland Resort. It's kind of a shock because they, you know, the June 15th was this pretty much the same day that they got rid of indoor masking at Walt Disney World. Also, but Walt Disney World had, you know, over a year to sort of work up to that. The switch at Disneyland from very strict to nothing at all was kind of surprisingly swift.
And allowing out-of-state people as well on the same day.
Yep. I will be there in just a few weeks, and I am looking forward to seeing Disneyland again, but it's definitely it's kind of a little surprising how quickly they are withdrawing the things that they spent, you know, weeks and months trying to set up.
Yeah, I was watching a vlog today, actually, from Disneyland. It looks busy as ever, nothing had changed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at statistics, and wait times actually don't seem too unreasonable. They seem to be a lot of people rushing there in the morning. Obviously, Rise of the Resistance and the Web Slingers is that 7 a.m. drop is just as popular here as it is there as it is here in Orlando. Looking at the actual wait times, it doesn't seem like it's terrible by historical standards for the summer season.
And then we've seen some articles. I think it was the LA Times with, oh my gosh, his name just left me. Chairman of Disney Parks and Resorts, or Disney Parks Experiences and Products.
Bob?
No.
Josh?
That's Josh. Josh tomorrow. Sorry. My brain just stopped working.
You don't have your corporate executives memorized? Come on. You don't have all their trading cards?
Listen, if they had trading cards, someone would collect all of them, I'm sure.
I think we just found a new sideline business.
He recently did some interviews about the various protocols that came about because of COVID and what would stay and what would go, which was really interesting. Kind of sidestepping.
I saw a little bit of that, and it does sound like some sort of replacement for the annual pass holder program at Disneyland is coming before the end of the year. They're careful not to call it an annual pass. It's going to be a membership or a loyalty program or something like that. But it's, you know, who knows what exactly that's going to involve.
It sounds like visit limits, like you can only visit X amount of times a month.
It sounds like it's going to be paying more and getting less. That's what it sounds like to me. But honestly, you know, the annual pass holder population at Disneyland had gotten so unmanageable, so out of control in relation to the day guests that, you know, it was inevitable that something had to be done.
Yeah. And then character performers as well. They seem to be sticking with cavalcades and the surprise and delight appearances of characters, which I like.
I'm actually okay with the cavalcades as opposed to the 3 o'clock parade. I think it'd be nice to hug a character again sometime.
Yeah, I wish, like, isn't there a happy medium where we can have, like, Goofy fishing for his underwear in California Adventure, but also I can go and, like, meet him elsewhere.
Yeah, I want to bring back the Star Wars meet and greets. I need to see Chewbacca up close.
Yeah, give him a big hug.
Not just wave at him on top of a balcony somewhere.
Exactly. Give us both, because I love, like, Pooh Bear looking for butterflies in Epcot, but I also want to give him a hug.
Yep.
Let us have both. And our last bit of news in the queue, fireworks!
Woo!
They're coming back!
Yes, with the end of social distancing means that spectaculars can come back. So be prepared for gridlock on Main Street USA again.
Yep.
Yay. looks like July 1st is going to bring back the nightly fireworks at the Magic Kingdom, Happily Ever After, with the projection mapping on the castle. See how that looks with the new colors that are on the castle right now.
Ooh, yes.
And Epcot Forever... the temporary forever show is coming back temporarily. Harmonious forever. Is probably gonna see Harmonious debut around October 1st. It's not an official date announced for that yet, but until then we get the fan baiting throwback show minus the kites, which were pretty much the coolest effect in that show. So
yeah.
You can tell what I thought of it.
I didn't like it either. It's okay. I remember seeing this news drop and I laughed out loud when I got to Epcot Forever.
Yeah. And over in Disneyland, they're going to do 4th of July fireworks, and then they're going to play Mickey's Mix Magic. And I'm not sure. See, Mickey's Mix Magic is designed so it can run with fireworks or without fireworks. And I am suspicious that they might run that without fireworks because it saves them a lot of money.
Fire season.
Yes. In the summer. Yeah, it's very, very dry there. Things that are not coming back quite yet include World of Color. We don't have an announcement on that yet. The Star Wars fireworks that they do at Disney's Hollywood Studios or Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios or Disneyland.
I want Fantasmic.
Things that are never coming back. Rivers of Light. Paint the Night Parade. Spectro Magic.
Will we ever get a nighttime parade again?
We can dream. We can hope and we can dream.
I just want a nighttime parade again. Come on.
But, you know, small steps. We got to be grateful for what we get back, right? That's looking on the positive side.
Bring back Fantasmic next. That's my one request.
Bring it back in Disney. I don't really care about the one here in Florida, to be honest. Like,
Fine. Then just bring it back in Disney.
Disneyland, that's fine with me, yes. Disneyland and World of Color.
Yeah. Come on.
We need World of Color there to drag people out of Avengers Campus. So I have a chance to go in there after dark.
I will buy a dining package if you bring
That's a threat. I will eat at Wine Country Trattoria if you bring it. That's how serious I am.
I will get Surf and Turf and Blue Bayou.
No, don't do it. Whatever you do, no.
That is a promise. All right, before we get into this week's main attraction,
we have a sponsor.
We do. A quick note from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
Yay!
Thank you very much to our friends at Destinations Travel with Character Travel for their support.
Yes.
And thank you for not firing me for getting your name wrong right now.
And without any further ado,
it's time for the main attraction!
Jack is back, baby.
Oh, yes. This was a roller coaster this week.
Yep. I kid you not, I spent hours trying to crack whatever Zodiac code was in that YouTube video.
So the headline is that Jack the Clown is returning to Halloween Horror Nights for the big 30th anniversary event this year. They kind of made a habit of dragging out Jack for the big anniversary years. We had him last for the 25th. We had him from the 20th. We had him from the Sweet 16. If you've been living underneath a rock since like 2000, Jack the Clown was the first original icon that Universal Orlando created for the Halloween Horror Nights event, played most famously by James Keaton. They have revived the character, kind of resurrected him in slightly different forms over the years, he is going to be back this year they have not officially confirmed exactly what format, but we've got a pretty good suspicion that there's going to be a stage show starring him and that he's also going to be featured in a haunted house.
There will also be Jack Tax, which I could not read without thinking of the Pixar short Jack Attack, in which he will pop up randomly in the streets and in houses to terrify you.
Yep. And you're not even going to be safe in the hotels because Cabana Bay is going to retheme their Swizzle Lounge around Halloween icons. And there's going to be a Jack the Clown photo op over at Cabana Bay. So if you want to, you know, stay on site for your Halloween experience, that is definitely Halloween headquarters.
If you remember, for the last Halloween Horror Nights, pre-COVID, they did a Stranger Things pop-up thing that was honestly really cool. I can't wait to see what they come up with for Jack, though I'm kind of afraid that it will be scary.
I think that's the idea. It is called Halloween Horror Nights, not Halloween Mildly Disturbing Nights.
Why can't we just have mild disturbances?
There's a boobash that I can sell you a really expensive ticket for, if that's what
you're sure.
So the bottom line, Jack is back. Tickets are on sale now. But there's a story behind that headline, because it was a long and twisting road getting here. It started out with a leak that came from a obscure British travel company that apparently were given the commercial early and decided to break embargo. I'm sure it was an accident. Someone just hit the wrong button. But the commercial that was eventually posted officially leaked a few days early and then was withdrawn. and then we started getting teased with these weird static-filled live broadcasts on Universal's YouTube channel with these cryptic messages. I know you went all Manhunter on those, trying to figure out the code.
Like, I figured out a lot of it.
Did you need Hannibal Lecter to like help you?
I figured out a lot of it was Unicode, and I thought like, oh, they just typed up a message and dropped it in like a translator.
No,
they didn't. A lot of it, there were letters in Arabic, there were Greek, there were runes, like Nordic runes in there. And
I don't believe I've seen yet someone come up with a solution or an interpretation that made any sense.
There were keywords in there, like a messed up take on the word clown. There was teeth.
But it's also kind of like if you throw enough random objects and sort of blur your eyes, you're going to see shapes. You know,
exactly.
It's like you see there's a car in the clouds or whatever. We're just, you know, built for pattern recognition. So,
yeah, I mean, I definitely gave it my best try. I try really hard.
Yeah, I'm. God bless him, but the folks in Universal's marketing and PR departments never seem to get through Halloween unscathed.
No.
It would be one thing if this was a one-time glitch, but there is a leak every single freaking year. It's kind of amazing. Like you would have to plan it to be this consistently inconsistent.
Yep.
In fact, it got to the point where I saw people complaining that before the official reveal, were saying, well, if all this is admitting that Jack is, you know, I'm going to be disappointed. Like, people are so far ahead of the marketing rollout because of the leaks that they're, you know, not patient with it anymore. But we still have, you know, we know one confirmed house, which is Beetlejuice.
Two.
Oh.
Puppet Theater.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's right. They confirmed that one, too. I think we're pretty certain that the Tooth Fairy is going to be back, because I think that's still sitting there.
Teeth was in the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. But that still leaves,
I believe, seven more houses, because I think we're going to have 10 this year.
What if they bring back Bride?
I think that would probably be a good bet.
So then
I think
six.
anything that was built, obviously not officially confirmed, but I do know that they have hired people in to do new work. It isn't just stuff that's been sitting around for a year. But I do think that a lot of the stuff that was done now, there's at least one house that was planned for last year, which will not be around. So there's still opportunity for new surprises.
Yeah. I'm super excited. And I will, despite the leak, I have to give props to Universal's marketing team for this. The gaslighting that you all committed with... They literally changed the profile icon and the banners on their YouTube channels from blue to gray just for the extent of their static live streams that happened periodically for like 3 days. And then when the stream was over, they would delete the live stream, change the iconography theming back, and act as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was evil, but I was sucked in.
Well, let's see if it goes anywhere or if that was the end of it.
I really hope that there is something to that code, because if I spent that long trying to figure it out, I will feel like a fool.
Drink your Ovaltine.
Fine. And that's everything that we had for this week.
That's just about it. But there is time... well, first of all, should we talk about our listener and our listener thank yous?
Yes, we should. Yes.
Sorry, so, I was about to jump in with my bit, and that would be stepping on your bit.
If you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service, and if you choose Club or VIP when you sign up, the week after you join, you get a shout out on the podcast. And this week, shout outs are going to Jessica White, Syed Mustafa Ziratina, David Tate, Jill Hawk, and Claudia Fiesler. I'm so sorry.
You had some tough names this week. And
I did.
I'm not going to say you nailed it, but 9 out of 10. There you go.
I really tried. We also have our summer issue available now and our digital subscription option if you prefer to read your reading materials on a screen instead of paper in your hands.
I need to see a copy of that because I believe there might be a story about the Velocicoaster that someone really cool wrote.
Oh, really cool, huh?
Well, all right.
And of course, we would like to give a big thank you to Destinations with Character Travel for sponsoring the podcast and making this craziness possible.
Thank you so much.
And now, Seth, you can do your bit.
Oh, is it my turn? I'm so excited. I'm just so excited to remind everyone to head on over to Apple Podcasts and please give us a 5-star rating. Not 4, not 3, not 5 stars. Leave us a review too. Please help spread the word of Attractions Magazine far and wide. If you would like to keep up with me, you can find me on Twitter at Eskuberski or at the UG Series, or you can check me out on Instagram. I've been trying to do reels, which is an experiment for me.
Oh.
And you can find that at The Unofficial Guides on Instagram. And Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been watching this for the past 50 minutes, as well as the occasional ad for Cruella, because I got full quoted for it.
Oh, yes. Congratulations. You're up there with Ben Meeker.
I was very surprised, to say the least. But
that was exciting.
Super stoked. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe and have fun. I still haven't thought of a new outro.
We need a new tagline.
I know.
If you think of a new outro, let us know.
Yeah. All right. Stay safe. Eat churros. Have fun.
Yes.
Yes, we'll go with that.
Secure all your valuables before getting on the ride. I know that doesn't have a very good ring to it. No. We'll work on that.
We'll work on it.
Bye.
Bye.